I don't know if you were like, if your family was like my family, we received a bunch of blankets when Jackson was born. We got blanket after blanket after blanket after blanket. Some lasted, some did not. Some were destroyed. And then for some, we kept them, right? And, you know, Heather said she kept them. Other, you have blankets, or my mom used to say Afghans. You know, you have those things probably in your home somewhere. I know we have some in our house. And maybe it was the comfort. The smell, you know, if a certain person made it for you and it came out of their house, you could smell them on it, right? Or at least that's where it was, where I was from. The feel of it. And I'm sure over time it's changed from crisp colors into more tattered look, mixed in with some stains from sleepovers and eating at the table with it wrapped around you for protection. I know I'm not the only one, right, that did that. Thank you. Somebody, yeah, Dave Carr did. That's right. Herb did. Everybody did that, right? And, you know, it really depended on who it was, you know, and what it meant to you as to how you kept it. You know, and I've got some over here. And I'll tell you, this brown one right here, someone made for Lori. When we were in Northern Virginia, they made this for Lori. And the woman who made it, she had just terrible arthritis in her hands. And so she would come. Lori used to work at a doctor's office, and she would come into the doctor's office, and you would see just her hands were like this all the time. They just, that's the way they were. And so when Lori left that office, she made this for her. And she even asked Lori, what color did she want? You know, it's like, I was like, oh, you know. So she made it this for her. And we use this. If you've ever been over to our house, you may have seen us under this and using that. But just, Lori would never get rid of that because, you know, of the woman that made that for her, right? We'd never lose that. When I left Burke Church, the folks gave me this. One of the women, they had a knitting group there, and she made this for me. When I left, it's in my office. I may or may not have been under it sleeping sometime during the week. I will neither confirm nor deny that. But I will tell you, if it's cool in there and it's messy, then more than likely I've been under it sometime during the day. I do that often, and sometimes other people come in my office and it's so cold that they like to do that. We've got some baby blankets here, and folks made this. Now, I always like these because they were like, man, these are just obnoxious colors, aren't they? Who's got one like this, right? Yeah, who's ever made one like this? You know, I love this blanket, though, and it's thick and it's warm, right? And then nowadays we make these little fleece blankets, and, you know, they're pretty simple to make. And every time my mom comes to visit, she's like, Lori, are we going to make some blankets? And so they go, and this is how this goes down. They put it on our table. My mom will sit there for just a couple minutes, and typically she'll go lay down, take a nap, and Lori will make a bunch of blankets. But this particular one, Lori made for Jackson. It's just got pirates on it, and it's nothing super crazy about that other than the fact that she made it for him, right? And this is his favorite blanket. And I don't know about you, but when Jackson has a favorite blanket, he takes that blanket, like, at night. That's what instead of his covers, he wants his blanket, you know, to sleep on him. He's trying to figure out how he can get his blanket, like, in the bed with him with some other stuffed animals and things, and then under the covers, you know, and that's what he does, right? And we build forts with those things. And, you know, again, if you come to my house now, you'll still see just blankets. I had to ask him this morning if I could take some of the blankets. So, and he's like, really? Are you going to bring them back? So I wasn't, you know, I mean, that's just kind of where he's coming from. But, you know, I think back to those things, and every time you look at those blankets, you wrap yourself in those stitch pieces of love, and you remember the people, right? You remember those moments, and you don't get, like, weepy, and you don't start crying about it or anything like that every time. Or maybe you do, I don't know. But I think that there comes a point in time where you remember, you know, so-and-so made this for me. And it just draws you into something very different. And it just takes you, and it gets you warm inside, you know, and its meaning is something that you'll never forget. Now, you know, my mom, she's an interesting woman. If you've ever met my mom, you'll know that she's a little off. She's crazy. I think I got it honest from her, but, you know, she started making me a blanket when I was a baby. And about 25 years later, she finished it. So she made other blankets for other folks, but it took her a while to get to mine. But every time I see that, and I always think about the time that she spent in that all 25 years of that to help me. That's a sweet thing. You know, and the thing about blankets, I'm gonna invite you next week. Don't worry, I want you to bring a blanket if you have one. I want you to bring it. We're going to turn the air down really cold. And you can put your blanket on in here. But, you know, those blankets, they give us security, don't they? They're comfort in those blankets. When you had a bad breakup or when things just kind of suck, you know, you take that blanket, you get under that blanket maybe with a bowl of ice cream or something. I'm not speaking from experience, I'm just saying. Dashed hopes. Those blankets covered our forts. They became impenetrable defenses against all the evils of every pretend attacker that we ever had, yes? And when we were all alone, wrapping up in that blanket, it had the ability to keep everything that was hurting out, didn't it? To keep everything that was hurting out. They oftentimes would help us recover. For the next 3 weeks, I want to stretch the idea of the blanket a little bit. I want to stretch the idea of what the blanket does for us into a new reality of what the Lord's Prayer is for our lives. And, you know, just like blankets, sometimes they get put up and kept up. The Lord's Prayer are very familiar words that we often take for granted, are sometimes forgotten. But they've always been there for us, always been a part of us. And you say, well, why should we teach the Lord's Prayer? Everybody knows the Lord's Prayer. And I begin to think to myself, well, we need to teach the Lord's Prayer because it's true. We need to teach the Lord's Prayer because it comes from Jesus' own lips. And ultimately, we can count on it. There are many things in churches that we try to teach. And there are a lot of times that we try to teach things that maybe don't come from the lips of Jesus. Or we try to stretch things out, and I'm really good at that, right? Preachers are good at that. We can move things in and out. But these are one of those things and places where we come and we say, this is exactly one of the things that Jesus said. And forgive me if it seems that I am taking the importance of the Lord's Prayer and trying to lessen it to just a blanket. But I do want us to consider how this prayer can cover us, protect us, provide for us, and I believe bring us to peace in the midst of our own terror, frustrations, and maybe even our own foolishness. I want to press this community today to consider the power of prayer. Karl Barth, the great theologian, said that the first and basic act of theological work has to be prayer. It is from there that all ideas, adventures, and my new favorite word, whimsy, can begin. The Lord's Prayer is so much more than a glimpse of how Jesus prayed. It is a foundation of how we are to pray, guided by more of who God is and who God is calling us to be. And I get it. I know prayer is difficult. Who's prayer difficult for? I won't look. You can raise your hand. For some of you, you're prayer warriors, right? We got some prayer warriors in here? Maybe? You love prayer. Not in here today. We got two. We got one or two, right? Prayer is your gift. Prayer is your gift. For others, it is tremendously difficult. It's weird. I know. I think sometimes it's weird for me. And we wrestle with prayer. Some of us pray when it gets really bad. Well, it's about to go down right now, so let's get to praying. Some of us are very diligent about spending our time in our prayer closet. That's a very familiar place to us. And I think that the Lord's Prayer can offer us a balance, if we allow it to those sporadic prayers, those urgent prayers, because is in the Lord's Prayer that we find a consistent reminder of who God is, of who God has always promised to be, and how we are to be co-conspirators with God. So this morning, I want to invite you to turn with me, if you can, to Matthew, the 6th chapter. We'll turn the lights on, and you can also find it on the screen today. And I'm going to start actually in verse 7 this morning when you are praying. Matthew 6, verse 7. I'm going to invite you this morning also to read it with me aloud. You may have a different translation. I'm okay with that. Or if you just like to read it from there, we're going to start in verse 7. When you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Simple, fundamental words. Our Father. This is my favorite part of the prayer. It starts out not in isolation, but in community. Our Father. And that community is always, always, always Jesus. When we pray that prayer, it changes our focus a little bit. It is Jesus and me praying together to God. So when we say our Father, we're saying Jesus and me. Can you say Jesus and me? Not me, but we. Jesus and me. Are you excited yet? Whew. Man, they might be my words, but it is Jesus with me expressing what Jesus is willing to ask for from God. Now, this understanding radically changes the way we pray, doesn't it? Because it forces us to ask the questions. When I pray, is this something that Jesus would ask for and say? Is it? Our Father sets the tone of our prayer and conversation with God that is not guided by me, but by Jesus. It is completely guided by Jesus. Our Father communicates an intimate relationship that we already now have with Jesus. A lot of times people don't realize that we already have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We think Jesus is way out here in the distance. Jesus is right here in us, around us, and we have a relationship with Christ if we are willing. And Jesus understood this relationship. He understood this relationship to God as a beloved son to his dear Father. And he understood it as intimate and obedient. And so he teaches his disciples and us today that the same intimate, obedient relationship is possible. And because of this intimate relationship, things are different for us. The possibilities are endless, right? When you know that you have someone else on your side, how does that make you feel? Good? You got it, right? When somebody else is on your side that really loves you, do you feel stronger? Yes, you do. When they're in your corner, you walk stronger, you walk taller, you walk with swagger, right? Whew. And you make dreams a reality, right? Come on! Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm giving you stuff this morning that's great. Okay? I'm just telling you. This is really good stuff. Right? Right. E. Stanley Jones. You know, I love some E. Stanley Jones. He makes it real plain. Check it out. He says, I can do very little alone. I can do very little alone. We can do anything together. We can do anything together. Our Father, Jesus, and me. Right? I can do very little alone. But us together, Jesus and me. There's nothing we can't do, is it? Right? You got it? Say you got it. Whew. It's going to be a long Sunday, friends. Got it. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. In Jewish thinking, the name represents the person. So to honor God's name is to honor God. To honor God's name as holy is to recognize, respect, and worship God as the Lord. The Lord alone who is true, living, and is daily confessed in the Shema. You find it in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. You know this, right? The Lord our God is one. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. You say that. You believe that. You impress that. When we do this, when we say, holy is your name, we are saying that our allegiance is to God as our Lord. Our allegiance is to God and our Lord. And yes, that does get tricky, especially when you come to election time. We need to honor God with a holy life that is glorifying God's name among all people. When we understand God is our Father and Lord, and we dedicate our lives to honor God's holy name by living an obedient life, then we will want God's will to be done. When we begin to honor God more, we will want more of God's will to be done in and through us and in and through the world. We begin to look at things differently because we can't look at them the same anymore once we say, Our Father, holy is your name. I can't look at things the same anymore. Because the Lord's Prayer, in that sense, is not just a prayer that's meant to be memorized. It's not a prayer that's to become rote. And by the way, it only becomes rote if you let it become rote. It is not to be repeated just to be repeated, but it is to be lived out in the real world in real time. Amen? And it moves then from our heart and heads to our hands and to our feet. Jesus and me, holy is your name. Holy is your name. And it moves us to become agents and ambassadors of God's work. We want to talk about making it real. That's what this is about, making it real, making it tangible. What does the world say? Churches just sit in there and talk, right? They just talk about how they're holy, and they come outside and they're not any more holy than anybody else. Some of you have said that before, right? It's about making it real. It is about living differently and making it real. And that's how we lead to real change in the world. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is not just some nice phrase that we put in there to make it beautiful. It's about making things right. I don't know if you know it or not, but there are things that are wrong in our world. I don't know if you saw it. It's about making things more like God and less like us. Man, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard for me. But God's kingdom is seen when we obey Jesus. And I know, man, like I get it, man. We live in this world. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do. I don't want to tell you what to do. I just want you to say that, you know what, I'll walk with you and we'll try together. That's what I want. And we'll pray that the Holy Spirit helps us. Because if you're anything like me, walking with Jesus is hard. And I don't get it right all the time. If you ask some people, I don't get it right any time. So, but we're trying. This is about us trying harder. It's about us taking it serious. Our Father, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we commit ourselves to honoring God, then we begin to see how God's heaven, God's reality, God's kingdom becomes real in real time in everything that we do and say. With God, with me and Jesus, and all of us saying this prayer right now, we are asking for all things to be made right. That's what we're asking for. We're asking for things to be different. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If I were to translate that, I would say it like this. The way things roll in heaven. You with me? The way they roll in heaven are going to roll here. And we need to help it roll. We, you and me, us with Jesus, us with the Holy Spirit, us with each other. We are going to help bring the kingdom of God to life right here and right now. Who's with me? Whew. You sure? I love y'all. You know that. But in order for us to do that, we really have to ask ourselves some questions, right? Am I doing everything I can to be holy? That is the question. Am I doing everything I can to be holy? To be holy means to be set apart, to be different. Am I doing everything I can to be holy? Am I doing everything I can to offer a kingdom alternative? You know, we live in a world that says there's right and there's left, right? We all know that. We know it well. John Wesley spoke about a via media, a middle way. And the only reason he said that is because he found in Jesus a middle way. That was not right or left. That would not fit into a label that we throw around today. Via media, a kingdom way, a different alternative, maybe a heavenly alternative. Am I offering that? Is God's kingdom of rightness really the desire of my heart? We know sometimes that's not right. We know sometimes that's not where we are. I don't pretend this morning to make it sound like it's easy, because I know it's not. It's not easy. But Jesus and me can do it together, yes? We can do it together. The solution is not difficult, really. And yet it's the most difficult thing that we can do. Really meaning this prayer. Really believing. And really living as if this prayer is an answer. Here's what I know. The kingdom of God is not being built by hate. God, forgive me when I have hated. The kingdom of God is not built by oppression. God, forgive me for those I have oppressed. The kingdom of God is not built by hurting and manipulating others. God, forgive me when I have done those things. The kingdom of God is not built when I do anything that is not of you. God, forgive me. But the kingdom of God is built on love. The kingdom of God is built on goodness. The kingdom of God is built on mercy. The kingdom of God is built on justice. The kingdom of God is built on closeness and accountability. The kingdom of God is built on prayer. I believe that the kingdom of God is built around a table of fellowship. I believe it is here in this community that we can begin to experience Jesus. Jesus with me. Jesus in me. Jesus and me. And I believe if we begin to understand that, we can go out and we can change the world. Because I believe if we do that, we will go out from this place and model what an open table looks like, where everybody is allowed to come and to sit and to share. And when we share in this meal of transformation, we see a glimpse of what God's kingdom really looks like. It is inviting all of our friends and all of our folks that are not our friends. It's like taking a blanket and opening it up. And now what do? Let everybody get a spot, right? I'm going to put my picnic blanket down. And there's enough for everybody. If you're willing to come and share in it. Jesus and me. Jesus invites you to come to this table. It's not Fieldstone's table, but it's the Lord's table. And all who seek God, all who are wrestling to know God this morning are invited to come. To come and be with God. To come and live with God forever. It's good and right for us this morning as we prepare for this time together that we might go to God in prayer. We might ask God to help us, to prepare us. And then we move together into the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray this morning. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we are forgiven children of God. Amen. Now we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. You remember the night in which Jesus was betrayed? He took the bread. He gave thanks. He blessed it. Then he broke it. And he gave it to his friends and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me." And afterwards, he took the cup and he gave thanks and he blessed it and he gave it to his friends and he said, "Take and drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins and the promise of eternity. Drink this as often as you can to remember me." And these are the gifts of God for us, the gathered community of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, I ask now that you pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice and on all of those that have gathered here today, that we might become your body offered, poured out and spilled out, God, that we might be transformed by sharing in this meal together, that we might be reminded that you are with us and that with that strength, God, that we can do all things, that you do change things for us. Bless this time together. Bless this fellowship meal together. We ask all of it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, if we could have volunteers to come and would help us to serve this meal.
I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. And I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. So it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Speak on it. I got a couple things that I need to share with you this morning before you leave, and these are crucial, crucial, crucial announcements. Next week, bring a blanket if you like. Tonight, BYOB, bring your own beverage inside for our party tonight that starts when? We're making the hot dogs tonight. You need to bring the sides as you can. If you can't, that's all right. Come anyway. If you can, that's all right. And a side in my mind is a bucket of chicken. So I'm not saying everybody's got to do that. I'm just saying that's an acceptable side, okay? So just so you know. And broccoli is too, but chicken is, no, it's not. David Laws is not. It's not really acceptable. So anyway, you can have fun with broccoli, man. Okay, let's have some stuff we can have some fun with. Also, if you are in college, raise your hand. Okay. All right. You do not leave today. When this is over, we're gonna put you all to work today. Look, when this part ends right here, after you do this other announcement that I got for you, don't worry, this is gonna be even better. I want you all to go to the Soul Cafe today. Can you do that for just a second? I want to see you together, and I just want to holler at you for just a minute, if we can do that. The final announcement is this, but don't forget the party tonight, 5:30. 5:30 Sunday night, bring a side. That includes chicken. When we're done here today, it would be awesome. It'd be awesome if you could help us by taking your chair, and if there's an empty chair, that chair also, and moving them to the side and put them together nicely, not crazy. Be careful of this. What's up, Andrew Teets? Did a good job with that, right? Yep. Thank you. Looks good. You don't even know what's going to happen with that. You don't even know. You don't even know. I like having this mic. It's good today. It feels good today. So we want to move those chairs out and do that after we sing our closing song together. We'll do that. And then college students, if you can do that. And we'll see everybody back here tonight at 5:30. Can you stand for a blessing today? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Amen. Amen. Okay. So, all right. Here's our blessing today, okay? Why don't you repeat after me? Thank you. Thank you. For loving me, God. Help me to leave from this place to tell others about the power of Jesus and me. Now and always. Amen. 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 Amen.